Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Good morning, Christian patriots. Welcome to the Morning Commute with JJS and a Lady Liberty. We missed you guys yesterday. Good morning, Lady Liberty.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Fired Up Friday.
Yes. And lots to be fired up about, as usual.
Yes, as always. Yeah. And boy, you know, I've got to say that seeing this new interim speaker, this temporary speaker that's in the House, I think I like the guy. So far, he has...
Oh, who's that? Thomas...
McHenry.
Tom, yeah. Patrick McHenry.
Yeah, yes.
He's got kind of a cool founding father's name, Patrick McHenry.
Right. It almost sounds exactly like, Patrick Henry, right?
Right, so like George McWashington.
Yes, there we go. There we go. Yeah, that works for the common, you know, the modern era. And yeah, he's the Republican... rep from North Carolina, and fantastic first things that he did was he ordered Pelosi to leave her Capitol hideaway office by Wednesday.
Nice.
And
get
so,
out.
Yep, give her the boot. What on earth is she still doing there anyway?
Oh, and she was huffing and puffing. This is very, what was it? This goes against the whole normal protocol, or I can't remember how she said it, but throwing a tizzy as if she had a right to still be there.
That's right.
Who knows how much, you know, $1 million a year staff to keep it staffed. Who knows? There's just so much, the deep state, there's so much squandering. Now.
Well, then he also, that's not all though. Patrick McHenry then turned right around and ordered former majority leader Steny Hoyer to vacate his Capitol hideaway office also. Oh. So this guy, I've never even heard of him until now. He's suddenly the temp speaker,
yes.
And all of a sudden he comes out swinging.
Well, everybody in D.C. that we haven't heard of that suddenly appears is suspect.
Yeah, right.
So they have to earn our respect, and those are two good moves.
Right.
Well, we'll see. Well, I mean, this is every time we think, hey, what a great guy. It turns out to be a deep state creep, you know. So,
but there's also this thing that gives him a huge advantage, knowing that he's only in there for a short time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So basically, it doesn't matter how many people he really ticks off, because he's not going to be there that long to be, to take long-term consequences for any of his actions.
He showed up the next day to work with a sledgehammer.
Yeah,
so
yes,
that,
exactly.
You know, that's impressive, I have to say.
Yep, make his mark and make a good hard one, too.
Right.
And so, you know, I love to see that, because, that's almost like a secret stealth weapon, you know.
Yes.
And so we I hope they take full advantage of that he just wreaks total havoc.
Yes.
While he's in there. And you know, now of course they're putting legitimate calls to have Trump be Speaker of the House.
Right.
where Marjorie Taylor Greene says, hey, he is my pick. In fact, there's nobody else that she wants to be Speaker of the House other than him. She says, the only candidate for Speaker I'm currently supporting is President Donald J. Trump. He'll end the war in Ukraine. He'll secure the border. He'll end the politically weaponized government. He'll make America energy independent again. He'll pass my bill to stop transgender surgeries on kids and keep men out of women's sports. He'll support our military and police and so much more. He has a proven 4-year record as president of the United States of America. He received a record number of Republican votes, more than any other Republican presidential candidate, and we can make him speaker and then elect him president. And
wow.
And so she says, yes, you can actually do both.
Right.
And you know, with the future side of that being, you know, that it is a definite term limit for him, you know, where he would know that the second he's been elected for president, you know, they have to be find
transitioning,
another speaker.
Transitioning out of there. Yeah. I don't know how doable that is. I'm not sure what the process is as far as what votes they would need and so on. I know a lot of people are saying Jim Jordan, but Trump being in there would absolutely
work for
America. And
in the interim.
And if I'm not mistaken, that would come with a lot of immunity.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Where they wouldn't be able to drag him through court with all this, you know, this, what do you want to call it, lawfare, but... Superfluous.
Superfluous.
That's not the word I'm looking for. But anyway, to drag him through court and keep him, you know, tied up like that.
Oh, frivolous. You're thinking frivolous.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. So, yeah, it would... I believe the Speaker of the House, why they're in that position.
They have near immunity.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think it would be a great move. I mean, especially with the fact that all of the communist election stealing tools are still in place. You know, he might even be able to have an effect on, you know, banning the electronic voting machines.
Right.
Think about how much he could actually get done in that position.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I mean, otherwise all he's going to be doing is campaigning and you know, basically showing up in court day after day to all these new inventions of you know, illegal charges.
Yeah.
And so why not? I mean, I think he could do both. He's a huge go-getter. I mean, it's not like he's running out of energy anytime soon.
And if they stole the 2024 presidential election, they'd be stuck with him as Speaker of the House.
For investigating.
Dogging them for the next 4 years.
Well, yes, exactly. But he would also be able to instigate the investigation of the election fraud if he were Speaker.
Right. There's a lot that could be done. There's no question about it.
I hope he doesn't pass up the opportunity, because they asked him when he came out of his latest, you know, courtroom appearance. And so he's talking to the press, and they asked him, would you consider taking the position of Speaker? And he said, all I can say is we'll do whatever's best for the country and for the Republican Party.
Right.
Well, it's him.
Well, that would be best for the Republican Party and for America.
Yeah, for the whole world, basically. Yeah. Get a leg up.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's get to the word of the day before we go into the weekend here.
And that's right.
By the way, yesterday, for those of you who listened to the live show, that it may have sounded familiar because they re-aired last week's Thrasher Commie Thursday, because we did not get back in time. And so those of you who listen on the Podbean download, you're noticing there's a gap there. Thursday's missing because we did not produce a new show. So
That's right. We just it was an impossibility yesterday, and so we apologize for that. But
it happens.
Sometimes life happens like that.
Hey, but last week's Thrasher Commie Thursday was a great show. It was worth listening to twice.
Well, it was still fairly relevant, and considering how fast we jump on the things that come up.
Right.
There are some people that might have considered that brand new news. So
That's true.
We'll see.
All right. So what does the Lord have for us for this awesome Fired Up Friday?
Well, he has a great thing as usual. The word of the day for Fired Up Friday comes to us from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 through 6, which read under the title, Concluding Moral Directions. Let brotherly love continue. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels.
Mm.
Remember the prisoners as if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since you yourselves are in the body also. Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And that's it. Boy, what an awesome little bunch of information that is that we can all use. Because, you know, there's something about covetousness. People feeling like they're not content with what they have. They need something else. They always need more. You know, the question comes up of how much is enough?
Right.
How much is enough? Right. Well, when one person asked, you know, who would be the richest man in the world? And the answer is basically the richest man in the world is the man that has nothing and wants nothing. And that would be Jesus right. Christ. You know, while he's here walking, he was totally secure and content, both with things or without things.
Yes.
He had all of his food, all of his water, all of his nourishment, everything he needed from God, from yep. his heavenly Father.
That's right.
And Paul made a fantastic statement in that direction as well in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13.
Yeah, this is what came to mind to me too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yep. Where he says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And so that is a mature state of being.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where, you know, if you get to that point in your life where maybe you're having a Job moment where you're watching all of your possessions just get wiped out in front of you, and or people, or, you know, something, your job, everything is just suddenly stripped from you, and there you are.
Yes.
And so there's the mouse in the maze. you know, which way is this mouse going to turn now? You know, here's God and all the angels watching you. You've been placed in this situation. Right. Right. And so you're like, you know, they're all watching you. How do you perform? Are you going to start complaining, cursing, swearing, crying, throwing a tantrum? Right. What are you going to do? Are you going to be, you know, take this mature look and say, "Hey, I just had it all, and I was happy with it, and I was blessed by it, and now I don't have it, and I trust God, and so yeah. I can be just as happy with stuff as without stuff."
There are a lot of wealthy people that are utterly miserable.
Oh, yes.
And on the verge of suicidal.
Right.
And there are poor people, or people who have gone through poverty, and they look back, and those were some of the most cherished seasons in their life.
Oh, yeah.
Because, right. you know, it's simplified life. Now, poverty is stressful and is difficult and, you know, that kind of thing. But still, you know, striking a balance. But it's really about your outlook.
Right.
You know, because you can be if you have your priorities straight, you can be a wealthy person and be very, you know, content and thankful and grateful, and you help other people, and everything's lined up, and you can be a miserable poor person. But to be rock solid steady, whether you're rich or poor or anywhere in between.
Right.
That's what Paul was talking about.
Right. That is the richest, the strongest,
yes,
the most sovereign person in the world is the man that has nothing and wants nothing,
right,
and is totally content. And, you know, that way, I think that is absolutely amazing, and it's a great endeavor for each and every one of us to test ourselves on. In fact, grow those skills.
Yeah.
Grow those skills in saying that whatever piece of furniture does not define my happiness.
Right.
That car does not define my mental stability.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It's absolutely.
Nothing that I own is going to change anything about who I am on the inside.
Yeah. It doesn't affect your character.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And
whether you have it or lose it.
And like Paul was describing, when you're poor, you learn to have little. That's just all there is to it.
Yes.
You don't learn to complain about it all the time. Just learn how it is to have little. Pretend like you're camping.
There you go.
You know, it's just it's an adjustment. Keep your head about you. Keep yourself straight so that it doesn't matter. Move in and out of possessions and material things as if it's just another day.
Oh, there you go.
Big deal. But there, you know, I do also appreciate what is said here in verse 4, where marriage is honorable among all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. And so absolutely, that's, you know, that's another part of not being covetousness. I mean, not being covetous, because it's the fornicators and the adulterers that are coveting something they should not have, you know, they're going after it. You know, it's like, it's almost like coveting is the initial stage to fornication or to adultery.
Right.
And so, you know, but both are against God's law in the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
And they're separate, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet. And so both of those are heinous crimes in God's eyes. So, I think that's amazing. Learn to be content and learn to understand that you're blessed with or without.
There you go. Amen to that.
Yep.
Awesome. Okay. So that's Romans. What?
No, that's, you're close. It's Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1-6. And the other verse that we were referencing in addition to that was Philippians chapter 4, verses 11-13.
There we go. All right. I'm all sorted out now. There's different scriptures floating around in my head.
Yeah.
They bounce into each other.
And actually, that was more the phrase that I kept reaching for was, you're independent of your surroundings. That's how the best way to frame it up. You're independent of your surroundings.
I love it.
Yep.
Awesome. Well, there you go, Patriots. And chew on that. You get 2-for-1 there, two scriptures to study.
That's right.
And go into for the weekend. But let's go ahead and take a break. This segment brought to you by JesusAppears.com, helping you to get rapture ready. Check it out. Really important stuff. Read all those resources, top to bottom. And that's at JesusAppears.com. This is The Morning Commute, and we'll be back with segment 2 right after these messages.
In 1943, the following directive was issued from party headquarters to all communists in the United States. It read, when certain obstructionists become too irritating, label them after suitable buildups as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic, and use the prestige of anti-fascist and tolerance organizations to discredit them. In the public mind, constantly associate those who oppose us with those names which already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder, select your preferred carry style, and order your holster today.
Welcome back to segment 2 of The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. I'm John Jacob Schmidt from Radio Free Redoubt, Lady Liberty from Liberty State Radio and the Political Church Podcast, and the Perils of Sustainable Development book written in 2012, and he goes on and on. 444, which from 2021 or 2020, 2021.
Yep, 2021. Yeah.
There we go. All right, well, in either case, welcome to The Morning Commute.
That's right, everyone, and welcome back. It's Fired Up Friday.
Yes.
And oh my gosh, well, as if the United Nations you know, guy isn't bad enough. Yeah. We've got another one that's pretty much right in line with that guy. As you know,
sounds like him too.
Yeah, he does.
Count globalist.
Yes. Count World Health Organization leader Tedros and Adhanom Ghebreyesus is his name. And what we're talking about with him today is rather shocking news coming up as he is congratulating Nobel Prize winners whose mRNA technology has enabled, quote unquote, safe and effective injections against COVID.
Boop, listen, boop. Alarms, bells, whistles, red flags.
Boy, you're not kidding. Especially when new data has come out showing that excess death rates from cardiovascular diseases were up 44% in 2022 among UK citizens aged 15 through 44, according to a report using official government data. And also, here we have this picture. This picture is worth 1,000 words. It says that the Nobel Prize laureates do not trust their own innovation and instead rely on pseudoscience with masks. So you see, these Nobel Prize winners having, you know, made these mRNA shots, they don't even trust what they've made, right? So listen here to what Tedros has to say. And then we've got more contradictions on the other side of that.
Today is a great day for health, a great day for science, and a great day for vaccines. I offer my warmest congratulations to Dr. Kathleen Carrico and Dr. Drew Weissman, who today won the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine for their work in developing the technology that led to mRNA vaccines against COVID-19. As they have for so many other diseases, safe and effective vaccines against COVID-19 played a vital role in bringing the pandemic under control.
Absolutely unbelievable.
No kidding.
And I mean, when you hear a globalist say safe and effective, look out.
Run.
Yeah, exactly.
Run, because oh my gosh, the death rates were outrageous associated with any of this stuff, and mRNA is even worse than what they came up with in 2020 for everyone.
Well, okay, now so the big headline is that they received a Nobel Peace Prize award for this, right?
Right.
Okay, the same Nobel Peace Prize organization that gave what the New York Times and these other outlets Nobel Peace Prizes for their coverage of the fake Russian dossier against Trump.
I think those might have been Pulitzer Prize winners.
Was that Pulitzer Prize?
I think so. Okay. But yeah, same thing. Yeah. You know, people are being awarded for doing these heinous things to the world, basically.
Yeah. Okay, so let's look at the Nobel Peace Prize. It wasn't very long ago, and I've got the name of him right here. In 2008, prominent virologist explaining that there are antibodies created by the vaccine warned, he's a Nobel Peace Prize guy who got the Nobel Peace Prize in 2008. Professor Montanier warned against mRNA vaccines.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, these are dangerous. We should stay away from them. So they ignored that Nobel Peace Prize award-winning professor on this. And all of the other, multiple other virologists, doctors, and professors that also were part of developing mRNA that are saying, stay away from this. This is dangerous. It's not safe and it's not effective. It's the opposite.
Exactly. And then we have Dr. Robin Menotti, a professor of oncology at St. George's Hospital of Medical School in London, saying that at the end of last year, I reported that I was seeing melanoma patients who had been stable for years relapse after their first booster.
Yes.
I was told it was merely a coincidence and to keep quiet about it, but it became impossible to do so. The number of my patients affected has been rising ever since. I saw 2 more cases of cancer relapse post-booster vaccination in my patients just this last week. And so, you know, that is going on. But now here's another addition to talking about releasing mRNA into the food supply. This right here comes from childrenshealthdefense.org. And it says, the use of mRNA in the food supply is controversial for good reason. No one knows what the long-term consequences will be. Are you okay with your food being tinkered with in this way? Right. Because here we have, oh, well, this is just great. mRNA with your shrimp cocktail? Question mark?
What?
Anybody? Shrimp cocktail with mRNA? Anybody? it says here, biotech firm developing oral vax for shrimp farms. So it's not enough that they want to put it in the, that they have been putting it in the beef, the chicken, the turkey, and they're starting to figure out how to put it into vegetables, and now they're putting it into shrimp that are grown on shrimp farms. An Israeli biotech startup secured over $8 million for its oral RNA-based shrimp vaccine that targets the white spot syndrome virus. And so, wow.
Unbelievable.
So they are bent on having everybody have this cellular destroying mRNA stuffed into everybody's body.
Right, RNA altering, homegrown, lab-grown stuff that we're being warned against.
That's right.
We're seeing, there's multiple reports. We see it almost every day, something about cancer going through the roof, heart inflammation, sudden deaths, unexplainable with young, healthy people. I mean,
especially professional athletes.
Yeah. This Professor Montagnier said epidemiologists know but are silent about the phenomenon known as antibody-dependent enhancement. In the articles that mention ADE, the concerns expressed by Professor Montagnier are dismissed. They dismiss a Nobel Peace Prize professor, but then they award the Nobel Peace Prize to people who are putting stuff together that is going to kill us.
Right, exactly. Yep. I just have to say, everyone, beware of what you're eating and make sure that what you're eating, you're able to talk to the people that are producing it and find out if they are adamantly against using mRNA in any of the vaccines for their animals.
That's right.
Or any of the mRNA in the food that they feed their animals, because they are trying to, just like they want us to eat bugs, they're trying to shove this stuff down our throat as fast as possible.
Say no. All right, guys, you have a blessed and a safe weekend, a restful weekend, and join us Monday morning at 7 a.m. right here.
That's right. You all have a fantastic Fired Up Friday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.